This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the best of the Giants.
And the Giants have won!
A weekly mix of WFAN Sports Radio 101.9's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
All right, the Sims Spotlight is brought to you by Balance of Nature, whole food supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com or I do it. And what he's doing right now is his weekly spot with us. Phil, good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty average, Gio. You know what that would be like, I guess. So,
well, you know, number one, you should not be pretty average when you're on your Balance of Nature. By the way, tell them I said thank you for getting me my stock. I'm all set and ready to roll.
And I've been taking it every day.
Yeah, so we're feeling pretty good. We're not average. Maybe you're average,
happy.
But we're not.
Okay, well, you're lying to yourself. That's all I can say. You know, but, I mean, you know, listen, Gio.
Yeah.
Balance of Nature has been great to me. You're taking it. It's going to help you. It sure as hell can't hurt you.
Right.
And so we know
That is true.
Can't get any worse.
Hey, they're doing a great thing. They're helping your radio station. They're helping me. So quit making fun of me. It's starting to
We love you. We love you. We can't wait to see you this Sunday, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No, how about that? Oh, my God.
It's going to be great. It's Philly at the Giants. You and me in the booth with Jerry Recco. Gio down on the sideline.
Yeah, we're going to need double dose of Balance of Nature that day. It's going to be a long
straight
day.
I'm going to bring the tequila for the broadcast. Is that all right?
No, it's not all right.
All right.
No.
Okay.
No, you can't afford to take a couple shots of tequila, my God. No matter what, who knows what will come out of that mouth of yours, but that's a different story.
Well, you know what, I'm going to take it seriously. I'm looking forward to it, and in all honesty, it's a Giant. They have to win the game. They have to win the game. We always say this every week. They got to score some touchdowns at home, but first I want to start with the Jets, and let's get into it. So Aaron Rodgers, after the game, basically throws his wide receiver under the bus. Do you agree with me that that was the wrong way to go about it?
Look, I guess you got to be who you are, and it upset him so much. I did watch it to see what he was talking about. I kind of understand it, but oh my gosh, to do that, no. I mean, I don't think you ever did it. I know I never did it. I might have thrown a coach under the bus every once in a while with some of the decisions, but not my teammates. And I thought that was pretty rough, but that's the way it is. Now you got Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard, Davante Adams, Mike Williams. Boy, it's going to be tough to get some catches, that's for sure, for you.
I mean, I'm just going to give you a simple question here, and I'm hoping for a non-simple answer. Is Aaron Rodgers playing well?
He's playing okay. I mean, it's not quite what we expect from him, but I got to say all this. The offense, I did notice a difference in it.
Yeah, I mean, they ran
offense?
The ball with Breece Hall better than they've done the entire season, and they were taking more chances down the field, yes, but then still in the critical moments where you can win the game, you're making mistakes, too many penalties, and obviously another interception.
Yes, I agree with everything you're saying there, but I think what they did is they used Aaron Rodgers was in the shotgun almost every play of the whole game. So that's one thing, and I think that's where he's comfortable. It's what's best for him. Running the football, yes, Breece Hall and Braylon Allen, between them, they're a great combination. But I do like the fact that they ran more play action. I do have hope for the offense. They moved the pocket around. They had a flea flicker in the game. So it's Todd Downing, I thought, did a really good job for his first game, what he was trying to get accomplished. And I think it'll go forward from there. And Davante Adams will make a difference. You know, he's a big target. Still a good route runner, all those things. So it's going to help the offense for sure.
We're talking to Phil Simms. You know, Phil, Davante Adams says he's ready to go. He's 100%. They start practice today for Sunday night's game in Pittsburgh. I can't imagine that he's not going to be starting. I got to believe that he's going to be right in the middle of this. I'm assuming that he is in shape. I know that Antonio Pierce was talking about business decisions a couple weeks back, you know, intimating right. that there were some issues with Davante Adams off the field, which obviously ultimately led to his trade here finally. But your expectations for Davante and Aaron right out of the gate.
Hey, my expectations are full speed. Here we go. You know, it's not like, oh, he's going to take three games to get involved or get a feel for the Jet offense. He's going to know it, the verbiage, what they say in the huddle. He's going to understand all that with his years in Green Bay. And I don't know exactly what they did out in Las Vegas, what system they were running. Whatever it is, he doesn't want to run that anymore, and I don't blame him. But I think he will be a factor. I thought it was pretty funny. He says, hey, I want to thank the Raiders training staff for getting me ready. Just happened to be this week. He's ready. So
he's ready. All right.
Him saying that, but yeah, he caught me. Yeah, I had a good laugh over
there. All right, Toby, do you think we're going to see Russell Wilson on Sunday night?
And, you know, listen, I think Justin Fields has done a pretty solid job so far this year with that offense and what they ask him to do. Only one interception so far this year, if I'm right. I'm not sure. I didn't look up the numbers, but I remember doing that last week. But Justin Fields was really, really shaky against the Raiders, and that had to put a little fear into the Pittsburgh coaches and even maybe the teammates that it's just so limited what they do on offense when he's out there. And we know they want to run the football. They're extremely conservative on the offensive side. If Russell Wilson's out there, I would expect it to open up more. And they got to do it, too. You just can't. The way they're playing, they're 4-2. But I don't think you can sustain what they try to do every week to win the game 17-13. Too hard to do in the NFL.
Davante Adams, not the only wide receiver to get traded yesterday. Amari Cooper to the Bills. I feel like the way that Josh Allen plays, I mean, there's like, I feel like he's got 15 guys to throw to every single time he drops back and runs around. So, I mean, maybe the target share gets a little bit more condensed and you see more of just Cooper, Shakir, and maybe Dalton Kincaid, but tell me from your perspective what Amari Cooper does for this offense in Buffalo.
Well, they needed him bad, I think, when you look at it. There was no guy, no receiver on the team that was, you just go, I'm going to look at him because he's got man-to-man coverage, it's one-on-one, and he's going to win that battle. And, you know, when you talk about Buffalo and you want to stop their offense, just don't try to rush the passer so much. Just make Josh Allen throw from the pocket, and it's going to be tough for them. You know, think of all the plays he made outside the pocket. I mean, it seemed like about half their yardage in the whole football game against the Jets was him moving, getting out of the pocket, making the throws down the field. And, of course, we know that's great. And then the play of the game, at the end of the game, it's, what was it, 3rd and 4 or 5. What do you think they're going to do? I said, it's got to happen with Josh Allen. They're going to either run it or going to move him, whatever, to try to make that play. And the Jets lost contain and let him get outside. So I kind of say that again this week for the Jets. Keep the quarterback in the pocket. It doesn't matter who it is in Pittsburgh, Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. If you do that, you have a really good chance, I think, of winning the game.
Let's talk about our game on Sunday, the Eagles at the Giants. The Giants now lose Andrew Thomas at left tackle. The futility at home offensively to score touchdowns is so frustrating for all of us who want to see more out of the Giants offense, expect more out of the Giants offense. I'm expecting Malik. I thought Malik Nabers was going to play last week because he went to a concert the week before. And I guess it's going to concerts is okay, but playing in an NFL game is not, especially when you're in concussion protocol. I can't imagine doing that. But I would expect that we're going to see him this week. What can we kind of expect from the Giant offense, especially if he's back on the field without Andrew Thomas?
Well, the Giants have to find a way. In the NFL, I don't care who you are and what team, you can't consistently just go out and march your way down the field and everything goes right. You need big plays, and the Giants are not getting big plays at all compared to the rest of the teams in the NFL. So, and they're trying. I mean, Brian Daboll draws them up. They've had chances to hit them down the field. They missed. And I got to say that to Daniel Jones, when these long, these big throws down the field, you got to start hitting them. You can't overthrow it, throw it too short, whatever. And that's what they need. And look, this Philadelphia defense, it's not what we've seen in the past, if you ask me, watching them. They don't get to the quarterback as well as they used to. The secondary's got some young guys over there. So I think there'll be chances for the Giants to make some plays against this defense. I mean, they got a rookie guy playing the nickelback position. They got a rookie corner. So Malik Nabers is out there. This group, they got to find a way to get some plays down the field. That's the biggest thing I see when I watch the Giants offense. And I see that against the Philly defense, too.
You know, I feel like I talk about this incessantly when it comes to Daniel Jones, Deshaun Watson. For whatever reason, when they play in front of their home fans, it's just not the same as when they're playing away from home. And I know early on in your career, you had to deal with a lot of what Daniel's dealing with now, and then all of a sudden it turned around for you, and maybe it was the coach, who the better team around you and everything else. Oh, like, what advice would you give Daniel to say, like, just screw it and just let it rip? I don't know what to say anymore. I don't know how to advise him to play better at home. I don't know what the words are.
Oh, man, good question. I mean, listen, we don't know what he's thinking and how he feels. But, you know, sometimes you just got to, as you know, I've had coaches say, can't be afraid to go down in flames. In other words, you can't go out there and try to play perfect. And I think sometimes that's what it is. Hold the ball a little too long, trying to place the ball perfectly. Man, when you're throwing it deep down the field, let it go. Don't underthrow, whatever. But to me, you just got to be, there's got to be a confidence, a belief in what you're doing, the play calls and all that. And I know that sounds funny, but it's real. When you feel confident out there, and of course you need plays to reinforce what you want to feel. They're not getting that. But, man, when you're playing at home, the crowd wants to be behind you. The Giants just got to give them some reasons to do that. And, of course, the biggest part of that is Daniel Jones. And they have had some plays down the field to hit. They're not hitting them, but it's not enough. It's not enough chances and not enough open guys deep down the field. And if they do that, because the Philadelphia defense, this is not the great rushing team, pass rushing team we've seen in the past. I think the Giants can protect, and it should work out pretty well. I know they lost the left tackle, but there'll be some opportunities there, I think, for Daniel Jones and his offense to make big plays this week.
Boomer and Geo with Phil Simms on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Nick Sirianni seems like a guy to me that's not long for that job after what happened this past offseason, putting all the pressure on him. He's screaming at his own fans. He seems like he's just unraveling in front of our eyes. What do you see from Nick Sirianni and the Eagles right now, as a leader?
Oh, man. Well, I think you said it all. I don't understand it. Just coach the team. Quit worrying about everything else. I mean, my gosh, I can't, for a coach, I don't think I've ever seen that in their home stadium start yelling at the fans. So when I saw it, I just went, you're right, Jill, you said it right. It's like, I'm trying to get fired. That's what I feel like when I watch it. And then, you know, the whole conversation, him and the quarterback talk, we got to get in harmony. I can't remember ever talking like that. Oh, my gosh.
Well, not with the guy that you played for, that's for sure. Well, there's no harmony between you and him.
Well, Boomer, do you ever say something like that about the coaches you had wherever you went? I can't believe you did.
No. It's a different time. You know, it's a completely different set of circumstances. Yes.
Hey, that's another thing, too. I know it's a different time. You can coach the players. I mean, it seems like everybody's afraid to do certain things with their team and the players and all that now. They're not that tender. You can still coach them hard and hold them. You know, I get sick of hearing this. We're going to hold them accountable. Well, I sure as the hell don't see that with a lot of teams. And I don't see that with Nick Sirianni. I just can't imagine players coming out and saying things that are really negative about you to the head coach, and he just takes it and lets it go. So that's just my thoughts.
All right, so...
But I will say this real quick.
Yep.
The Philadelphia offense, keep the quarterback in the pocket.
Yes.
I know the Giants are blitzing. They get to the quarterback and all that. Keep him in there, make him throw from the pocket. That will be huge to do. And if you start blitzing them too much, I would not say do it because of those wide receivers they have are the real deal. Devontae Smith, you know, I think about this every time the Eagles play the Giants. The Giants were going to draft him, and the Eagles moved one spot ahead of him and took him. And, you know, I think he's a star along with A.J. Brown. So if you play them one-on-one, the Giants will lose the football game if they try too much.
Hey, the other thing, too, it's a Saquon Barkley revenge game. Let's face that. You know, there's going to be a big storyline going into this game. And I would imagine if there's anybody more I can't imagine anybody would be more motivated than Saquon would be coming home here to play in front of the Giant fans.
I will say this. I was watching the Eagles yesterday. Just let me get ready for this game on Sunday with you, me, and Jerry Recco and the big guy there down on the sidelines. Can't wait to hear what he has to say. But Saquon Barkley, let me see how I phrase this. He looked really fast on tape. Okay?
Yeah,
that's all I can say. If he gets a shot, look out. I mean, he might pull both hamstrings running so fast down the sideline or whatever, but he does look healthy, impressive, and you have to be careful when he's in the game to make sure he doesn't get that open running lane to take off. So it'll be a tough task for the Giants, but they can do it. But the big thing is, and when you keep Jalen Hurts in the pocket, their offense, I think, is very limited. And that'll be a big part of the game this week.
Phil, before you go, I have a protocol question for Sunday.
Uh-oh.
For all the years that you were there calling the games and you'd be down on the field, I would imagine, you know, hours before the game. You know, did you shake hands? Did you dap up the players that you liked? I mean, like, am I allowed to do that? Because I know some of the Giants. I like the Giants. We've interviewed them. But, like, A.J. Brown's a guy I love in the league. Can I go up to A.J. Brown and, like, give him a pound and dap him up as a national sideline reporter? Is that allowed?
Absolutely. Sure. That's part of it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You want to do that because when you befriend them, they might tell you something that's really good for the football game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you know, get them, hey, make them relax a little bit. You know, you're good at that.
Oh, yeah. I get relaxed every morning.
Yeah. You know, maybe what we could do is call up Evan Washburn and ask him for some tips.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, but he's just a beautiful man, so it's going to be tough.
Oh, yeah. We call him the hair. You know, that's it. I've never seen that hair move. It was a tornado. He's on the sideline, doesn't move. But, yeah, you know, that's the great thing about doing. I love going down on the field just to say hi to the coaches and players. And it'll be I think you'll be surprised at how much you might learn about the game and what they're thinking. You know, people want to talk, and that'll be your job to make them talk a little to you.
All right. Awesome. Can't wait. It's going to be tremendous. Compass Media Networks, Jerry Boomer and Phil in the booth, me on the sidelines. Phil, thanks as always. We'll see you Sunday. Obviously, we'll talk to you again next Wednesday. All the best.
Okay. Phil.
Yeah,
Phil. Say it, Gio.
Phil.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I
you sound like you're from the South when you say it. I like that. So.
Yeah, of course.
I'd do it. Gosh, I'd
do it.
I'll take you down to Kentucky and introduce you to some of my brothers. How's that?
Perfect. Let's do it.
Yeah, okay. All right. Have a good day, guys.
All right. See you. That's Phil Sims of the Sims Spotlight is brought to you by Balance of Nature. Whole food supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. We'll get back to the baseball stuff in just a little bit and continue with your calls at 888-808-1019. Right now, we're going to talk a little Giants with our buddy Jonathan Casillas. You know, Jonathan, I'm fired up about this game. The one thing is I cannot get past the significant injury of Andrew Thomas. What are we looking at here for the Giants' new offensive line going into Sunday versus the Eagles?
What's up, fellas? It's a big, big-time injury. You know, we talked about before the season, you know, what's the most, you know, which position we don't want to see go down. And we all said Andrew Thomas. Like, that was, he was like the exception. Like, we didn't include him because if he goes down, we're in a world of trouble. And I do believe we are in a world of trouble with Andrew Thomas going down. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's been playing at that all pro level like he has been in the past, but he's still the best offensive lineman that the Giants have, one of the best players on the team, one of the best players in the NFL. With him going down, it's questions, right? What do you do? Do you put Evan Neal at left tackle? He's been predominantly working at right tackle. does Azudu go to left tackle? Does, you know, Aluminor go kicked over to left tackle and then Azudu or Evan Neal goes up? So it's a lot of questions. You know, Daboll's probably not going to say anything until game time. You know how Daboll is. So I'm sitting here with my hands in the air like, what are the Giants going to do? I have no idea. But to minimize this in any type of way is a sin because Andrew Thomas is a great freaking player.
Yeah, he really is, man. And it's an absolute shame. I think it's going to be Azudu, by the way. That's my opinion. The fact that Evan Neal doesn't even seem to be really under consideration is tells you all you need to know about Evan Neal, no?
It baffles me, guys. Literally right
Why?
Before
he
the
stinks.
Game. No, it baffles me that he's not playing at all. Like,
he
at
stinks.
All. First of all, I hear you, but I'm okay. saying like this. I'm not even talking about the five or the six when they bring in an extra lineman. I'm thinking a field goal pro when they're bringing two extra linemen.
Yeah.
Bro, he has zero snaps this year. I don't even know a player in the NFL that suits up for every game that has zero snaps. I have, besides the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
know. It's very concerning to me. I don't understand it, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. We'll see what happens on Sunday.
Understood. One more thing about Thomas real quick. So last year when he basically shredded his hamstring early against Dallas, everything changed. And maybe it would have been a good season anyway, but it really complicated the first six or seven games without him. It's 2 years in a row now, and he is a great player. He's 25. Two leg injuries. At what you played, I don't know. At what point do you start to worry about just being a great injury-prone player?
Good question. So I feel like I was an injury guy. You know, I feel like if you look around the league, like a Odell Beckham, he's an injury guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some guys are susceptible to injuries. You know, like everybody can't be a Ray Lewis. Everybody can't be a Rondé Barber who plays 17 years, doesn't miss a game. I don't know what it is. I think it's the integrity of bone density and ligament structure, to be honest with you, because, like, it I literally could not stay healthy, fellas, like my entire career. I was always freaking hurt.
Was it soft tissue or was it, like, bone vertebrae stuff?
I had a lot of ligament stuff.
Got it.
So I had a MCLs, meniscus. Yeah. I had my Lisfranc in my foot. I had a shoulder deal. You know, I think some guys are just more susceptible than other guys. Of course, you have freak of nature type injuries, and it looks like, you know, Thomas might be one of those guys, you know. But look, I played 9 years after missing my whole second year with a Lisfranc injury, you know, so it's not impossible for him to bounce back and be good for the rest of his career. But, you know, it's a problem now. And I think, you know, if he does, you know, come back and gets hurt again, it's going to definitely, you know, have implications on whether he's the highest paid offensive tackle in the league or not. You know what I mean? I think that's going to be a problem for him personally, but I don't think that's something that you should worry about. And I say worry about because, look, these guys get hurt. It's the NFL. Everybody gets hurt. You know, it's not about if, it's about when. You know, hopefully he can recover and come back full strength next year.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Jonathan Casillas ahead of the Giants-Eagles game Sunday at 1 o'clock, a huge game for Big Blue. So how do they compensate for Jonathan offensively? They've been struggling anyway. Now without Thomas, how do you make up for that?
To be honest with you guys, we're sitting there watching the game, and I'm Bob Popper. You guys know Bob.
He does the play-by-play.
He sat down for an extra 30 to 40 minutes after the game because he was so puzzled at what he saw out there. Like, I don't understand what we're seeing at MetLife Stadium, because on the road, the Giants look like a capable team. They look like they can score some points. Their defense, you know, two wins on the road, 7 sacks and 8 sacks apiece. Not that the defense, you know, the defense actually the ones that kept them in the game last week, but offensively, one touchdown at home in 3 games, basically all field goals, and then now you can't make field goals. It's like, what are we watching here? You know, I'm sitting there looking like, I swear that this is going to be a high-scoring game. The defense for the Bengals is not that good, rushing-wise, passing-wise, and the offense looked stagnant the entire game, while the defense, and this is what I said, we talked to Dave Statham. He was the play-by-play guy for the Bengals right before the game. And I talked to him. I was like, hey, what is it about Joe Burrow that he never looks rattled? Like, he always looks like Joe Burrow, even when he's getting sacked 8 times in the playoffs. Like, he always looked like Joe Burrow. I swear, guys, that was the first time I see Joe Burrow look rattled. And the Giants could not capitalize on it. What is going on? I'm like, what am I watching here? Why does this team look like this at MetLife? And this is 2 years now. with Daniel Jones at MetLife. Two years of him just not being a capable quarterback at home. I don't know what I'm looking at, fellas. I don't know what I'm watching.
Well, I mean, I can easily volley back and say when you don't know what you're looking at, you probably do know what you're looking at. You know what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. But what? Why the big discrepancy from away to home? You know, like, I don't, like, I understand, like, okay, he's not a good quarterback, but he plays pretty good on the road for some reason. But then at home, it's like, what is this? What am I looking at home?
Do you think he's a good quarterback, Jonathan? Discrepancy. Bottom line, you think Daniel Jones is a good quarterback?
No.
Okay, me neither. And it's not a big secret. Like, so go ahead, continue. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
I can't defend what I'm seeing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to lie and say that I'm seeing a good quarterback play at football. Like, MetLife Stadium, the guy has one touchdown in three games. Like, I don't – and then last year, I can't even put last year in there because that makes him far below what I'm even seeing this year. You know, so it's mind-boggling to me. I'm just trying to figure out because, first of all, guys, I love playing at home. I love playing at night, in night games. But it's like he's 1-14. Was it 1-13, 1-14 in primetime games? And it's like this is what like everybody dreams of, not just playing in the NFL, but playing Sunday night football, Monday night football. I don't think anybody dreams of playing on Thursday night football. But, like, you dream of those moments at home in front of your crowd.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand what I'm seeing, guys.
I mean, it's been so bad, he should probably be a Jet instead of a Giant. Jonathan can see his BT and Sal here on the Fan.
BT, I'm so glad you don't care as much about the Giants as you do the Jets, because I heard you the other day.
Oh, God.
I saw you throw the helmet. I was like,
wait till you hear me Monday.
Don't care as much.
If they don't show up in Pittsburgh Monday, I don't know what I'm going to do Monday. Listen, one of the reasons I love having you on, and we love having you on, Jonathan Casillas, by the way, BT and Sal on the Fan, part of the Giants broadcast crew, played for the Giants, great, is that you, unlike a lot of people in your position, this is the ultimate compliment, by the way, you straddle the line of being objective, but also being raw and keeping it real. So we relate to you, all right? I got to say, though, even in those moments of rawness and realness, there's still elements of positivity. This is the first time, and we've had you on probably 15, 20 times by now, so something like that, where I almost feel, and I'm hearing despondency, like I feel like you think the season's over. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think the season's over. I really don't. This is a huge game this week against Philly. I can't put anything on the offense, right? Because what I'm seeing, you know, I'm literally week to week with you guys. Like I say, hey, look, you know, after the Seattle game, I said, you know, I wasn't, you know, thinking that they could actually beat Seattle, but they did, and they looked pretty good. The offense looked pretty good. Defense was amazing. This week, I watched the defense go out there and play a great game against a very talented quarterback. And we talked about the Bengals being a good team, and I accidentally said that they were, but their offense is undoubtedly a great offense. 38 points the week before against a very tough Ravens team, and they basically shut them down. 17 points from that Ravens, that Bengals offense with no productivity from the Giants offense. I'm not saying the season is a wash because I've seen teams come out of slumps. I've seen teams turn it around. But this is my thing. Can the defense do like the incredible? Can they look incredible? Can they do 7 points allowed? Can they do 10 points allowed at home? Because that's what it's going to have to take. And if you rewind to my 2016 season, when I was the captain of the Giants and we went 11-5, we beat Dallas twice that year. That at home, we beat them 10-7, guys. It's going to take those type of defensive performances for at home. I think they're capable of doing that. If the defense was trash, I would say the season is over. But the defense actually gives them a chance. And I'm talking about a 10-7 game. I'm talking about a 13-9 game. I'm talking about one of those type of games. I think their defense can do that.
Yeah, you look at it. The Giants should have an advantage. You would think, Jonathan, with head coach going in, you would think with the defense. I know Philadelphia's offense hasn't been what it was. It could be dangerous. But still, I mean, on paper, even without Thomas, which sucks to have him, but you get Neighbors back, even with Daniel Jones being the quarterback, I still feel good about this game. I think this is finally the time where maybe the Giants get the Eagles in a must-win spot as opposed to just, you know, the end of the season last year where it didn't really matter much. This is a huge game for the Giants. They got to get a division win. I think they can Sunday.
And the Eagles we're seeing now is closer to the end of the season, 2023 season Eagles, than it was in the beginning of the season Eagles. You know, halfway through, well, not even. Yeah, halfway through the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken, against the Browns, it was tied. It was 13-13. And yes, the Browns' defense is pretty decent. Their offense is horrible, very horrible. Their offense over there, I think they only scored 6 points on offense. I think they had a blocked field goal. But let's throw away the Browns. Like, the Eagles are a decent team right now. They do have some great talent. A.J. Brown is a monster. He's averaging like 120 yards a game. And Saquon Barkley is coming back to MetLife. That scares me, fellas. I know Saquon. He's a prideful guy.
Yeah.
And if Sirianni is smart, you would try to give him the ball at least 30 times in the game.
He's averaging... Sorry, Jonathan. Don't you think
he's not a bad receiver?
Don't you think there's only so much he could do? Like, I get what you're saying, and in theory, yeah, he'd want to stick it to him and go nuts. He's going to be booed vociferously. But don't you think there's only so much he could do as a running back? It's kind of out of his control.
Yeah, of course. I mean, he doesn't get the ball every play. The guy that gets the ball every play is Jalen Hurts, and we've seen Jalen Hurts be an excellent quarterback, and we've seen him be a subpar quarterback. Who's the quarterback we're going to see show up on Sunday is the question. A.J. Brown is healthy. A.J. Brown is scary. Devontae Smith is very good. Goddard is good. They have a great offensive, you know, talent pool led by a questionable Jekyll and Hyde type of quarterback, right? But look at the other side, Daniel Jones. What Daniel Jones are we going to see? You know, if Jalen Hurts show up like we've seen him in 2022 or Jalen Hurts, we've seen him in the beginning of 2023, it could be a very long day for the New York Giants.
Well, you know the answer. The game's at MetLife, so we know it's Daniel Jones who showed up, not the good one.
Thank you, Jonathan. Hey,
all right, fellas. Good talking to you,
you
man.
You got something else you wanted to add there real quick? Go ahead if you got something.
What's the kid's name? What's his name? The kid that always kills the Giants. What's his name? Boston. He's a running back.
Boston Scott, you're talking about? Yeah.
Yes, that guy.
Oh, running back.
He's not on the team for the Eagles, so I feel a little more confident. I don't know what it is about that dude, but he's like the kryptonite for the Giants. The guy is a jag. You know what a jag is?
Just a guy.
He's a jag at best, but he plays like an all-pro against the Giants. So he's not there, so I think the Giants have a chance.
We'll see what happens Sunday at 1. Of course, catch Jonathan right here on The Fan for all the pregame and postgame stuff. Thanks, Jonathan. We appreciate it.
All right, fella, take it easy.
See you later, man. He's the best, dude. Legit, I love Jonathan Casillas.
Legit love talking to him.
Yep.
Like, I actually can't wait to hang out with him after the season. Hopefully we get together.
The stakeout
go
the rails.
Frank wants to hang out and talk some football. We'll get Hoff involved.
Hoff's got
to
come. He's just he's a real dude. And listen, he's in a tough spot. He works for the Giants, and he always, you know, tries to respect the Giants. Never disrespects the Giants, but he keeps it real.
Right.
And that's harder than I think some people would imagine. I don't know if I'm more impressed with him or the fact that you dropped the word vociferously.
Yeah, well.
Very slyly placed. Nicely done.
Yeah, I deduce a lot from our conversation.
Deduce. Yeah. I do lean on that word once in a while. Yeah, there's a couple words I say a little too often. Deduce, I drop that a lot. It's not even a big word.
No, I know. I get it. It's just a
now when
BT
I go to deduction,
word.
I church it up a little bit.
There was some football to discuss with the Giants yesterday, Sunday Night Football. As a matter of fact, I was actually more, the way the Met game was going, had the split screen up, but then the way the Met game was going, I was more into the Giants game. Look, the Giants would be a good football team if they had a real quarterback. Daniel Jones stinks. How many times do we got to watch the same stuff? They can't score. Plays are there to be made, BT, and he's not making them. They got a weapon now in Tracy. Even without Neighbors, they can move the football a little bit. The defense played out of their mind yesterday. Burns was a beast, even without Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yep.
Drew Phillips back, helping that secondary out. Giants have a legitimate defense. They're a well-coached team. They control the clock very well. Their game plan is good. They just don't have a quarterback that can execute.
Yeah, he misses throws that you have to make if you want to be that guy. That's it. I mean, the dissection's over, you know, and eventually, it's so crazy. We've had this conversation a million times, but here we are again. You know, we could cite us 1-14 primetime, the worst record since the 1970 merger. We all know the stats, okay? You should also probably know, and you probably do, but if you haven't actually seen it, let me tell you. So they played six games, and four of the six games they played, they scored 15 points or less. You can't win if you can't score. One of the reasons why the Jets aren't winning, we'll get to them in a minute, they're not scoring. And you watch Daniel Jets, not just the deep ball, even when they went for like five times on fourth down, so I appreciate the aggression. One was certainly reckless at their own, I think, 38, But when you're going to do that, and you're going to do that with somebody like Daniel Jones, it's probably not going to work out. That last play that was knocked away on 4th and 2, he didn't even give his receiver a chance to make a throw. That was such an easy knockdown by the corner, and he's just not it. That's all there is. He's not that guy, and he never will be.
And it limits, because of what Dable has in Jones, it limits to what he can do offensively, which is why you're seeing a lot more runs. With, I just don't understand why they've waited this long to unleash Jones running the football, because had they done it more Thursday night against the Cowboys, they could have beaten the Dallas Cowboys had they done this. But this is their MO. They're going to run it with Jones. They're going to look to make some plays. Now they have a running back. They have a good offensive line, which is important.
Yes.
Their defense is
although
sick.
Thomas is hurt now.
Yeah, I know. That's going to be another whole issue. But still, we'll, hopefully it's not that big of a deal. But they have a good offensive line. Need to keep Thomas healthy. Get him and keep him healthy. Their defense is loaded. Like, their defense has the potential to be a terrific defense. It's going to grow and get better. So what's missing? They have Neighbors and a sick weapon when he comes back. Tracy looks like a stud
at
running back. Not to mention, if he does, you know, you get Singletary back. Now you have the dual threat. But anyway, they have the pieces in place, and they have a smart coaching staff. It's the quarterback, and there are just too many limitations with him. And even when they try to open up a little bit, he can't throw the football down the field. He's not reading the right options, you know, when the play develops down the field to hit the open guy for a bigger play. It's Daniel Jones. He's just not good enough. He's holding them back. At first, we were just evaluating him, but now I really believe they could actually be a good football team if they had a semblance of a quarterback.
Well, I don't disagree with that. And all the things we've screamed about, you know, for years with the Giants, the offensive line going back to Reese and going back to the gaping holes they've had seemingly forever, it's actually pretty good. Now, Andrew Thomas was going one-on-one last night. And he got burned. I think he gave up two, but he actually, you know, he played very well in certain spots. He also, you know, had that big penalty. That's a tough play to read. What are they called? Not the illegal shift. The ineligible receiver downfield. That's tough on the RPO because you're not sure if Danny Jones is going to stick it or keep it or what's going on. So you try to read that. You're a couple of yards past the line of scrimmage. It was a 50-yard play. But we sit here every week and we watch Daniel Jones try to connect on a 40 or 50-yard pass. It's not even close. And it's either short or 5 yards too long, which at this level is like 20 yards too long. I mean, you should never miss somebody by that much. And the other problem, too, is think about how different it could be today for the Giant fans. If the Giants would have found a way to win last night, think about how Dallas looked. Dallas gave up 50. They're broken. Dallas is done. It's over. So forget about them. Commanders are good, but certainly not quite ready. And even the Eagles, who won.
Did you see that doofus yesterday?
Oh, my God. He started. Yeah.
Shaved head. He's. I told you, man. Sirianni is a disaster. Talking trash to the fans barely beating the worst team, the Browns. I mean, come on.
You're never going to win. You're not going to win that battle. But that's just furthering my point because Dallas is broken and Philly, even in victory, is in flames. So it would have been a galvanizing win. Instead, it's another loss where we're like, geez, we watched, you know, 60 minutes of football and they basically didn't score again.
You think that's it for them now? Meaning, postseason?
Probably. I wasn't sure. Like, the way they looked against the Vikings, because I didn't think the Vikings were that good at that point yet. I'm like, oof. I mean, this thing could get really ugly. I don't think it ever gets so ugly, and that's part of the Dable effect for sure.
Right.
Where they're picking, you know, top three, top four. That's Patriots territory, Panthers territory, you know, one or two others that I'm just not thinking about right now. So they'll probably be more in that 9 to 13 range. So who knows if they'll even get their quarterback. But you don't want to start talking about that now. It's not even quite, well, it's the middle of October. Do you want to really have the draft discussion? The answer is no, and we won't. But the problem is the Giants are not going to be in a position to even get the quarterback that they so desperately need unless they give up a King's ransom to move up and get him. And next year, you're going to have to do it. There's no way. And this is not about denigrating Joe. Just come on. Come on. He's been here forever.
I don't know if I'm going to give up hope yet that they could still be in 8, maybe 9 wins. No, it's going to ask a lot.
Uh-huh.
And the Bengals are a good football team who desperately needed a win.
Yep.
And I think there was a lot of encouraging things from the Giants last night, specifically that defense. But with Daniel Jones, you're going to be limited.
Well, they don't have a kicker either, so that's a huge issue.
I have no tolerance for that.
It's hurt their season.
I mean, come on.
The Commanders game in last night.
And the way that they play. Like, other teams could get away with it. The Chiefs could get away with not having a kicker because
they can score 40, not really 40, but the old Chiefs teams.
The way the Giants play, ball control, drive the football, you need points. You need the field goals. Yeah, they can't score touchdowns. So if you're not scoring touchdowns, how else are you going to score? You need to kick field goals. You keep me missing field goals. God, it's
tough to watch. You realize, I mean, you probably do. Daniel Jones hasn't scored a touchdown at home this year. Think about that, man.
I forget the even.
And I think it's like six or seven games dating back to. He's the starting quarterback, and he's not scored a touchdown in his own crib.
Yeah, you're going to have
the
also,
whole year.
Also, look at the landscape of the NFC. The NFC East may not be dominant. The NFC West may not be dominant. Even the South, although the South, I think, has two better teams clearly than the Giants. You got the Niners, you got the Falcons, Bucks, four teams in the NFC North with four wins or more.
That's crazy.
And then you have the Eagles and Commanders. It's going to be tough.
They're not going to be a playoff team.
Okay, now.
But they are fighting, and Dable's doing a good job. They just need more weapons.
BT and Sal on the fan. We'll get back to your calls here in a second. 888-808-1019. The Jets, a huge game tonight. This is enormous, BT. New head coach with Ulbrich being the interim HC. You got the new play caller here with Downing, so no Hackett. Jets off the London trip, an embarrassing performance there against the Bills for the division. And if they don't win this game, I'm not going to say it's lights out for them, but this is a win that could go a long way and kind of change the entire feel of the Jets season tonight.
Not only do I think that the Jets are going to win tonight, but I think the Jets are going to finally give us a four-quarter, show where we're like, okay, this is where a lot of that hype was derived from. Now, the Patriots game was good, but the Patriots are awful. I mean, a good four-quarter game against a good team. Even the Tennessee win, we hit a million to sloppy. Niners, they got rolled. Obviously, London was a disaster. Broncos was pathetic. I think, now again, schematically, and I said this to you when they changed, and we weren't sure. Ulbrich was elevated. Salah was gone, but we weren't sure for a day or so, even though we got remnants from reports that Hackett would be relegated to a role. I don't even know why. Steve probably shouldn't even be in the building.
Yeah.
And Downing's going to now call the plays. They're not going to take the playbook and come up with 100 new plays. You can't do that. Now, I do think they'll be a little less reliant of what Aaron Rodgers wants to do, because now it's no longer his best buddy calling the plays. It's a coach who just cares about the team. And I'm not saying Hackett didn't want to win, but he was biased towards Rodgers. They're best buddies. It is what it is. I think you'll see a little change there. I think you'll see much more aggression from Ulbrich. The Bills than Salah. I think the Bills are vulnerable. They've missed Milano. They lost a lot of defensive players based on cap issues. I know Diggs, first couple games, they missed Diggs. Right. Trust me, they missed Stephon Diggs.
I don't think they miss him.
I think they miss him. And I think that Allen has always been harassed by the Jets, So if they don't win tonight, it's over. I would imagine, unless they just go on an unlikely run at this point. I think they win, and I think they look terrific tonight.
I just think the Bills are better. Flat out, the Bills are better.
Where? Outside of quarterback. Where else?
Well,
I mean, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
I know. Where else?
I think they're better everywhere else.
They're not better on defense.
The Bills have scored.
They're not better on defense.
The Bills in five. Okay, I'll give the Jets defense a bit.
That's one-third of the game.
Jets defense a bit. Well, it hasn't worked for the Jets in how many years?
Well, but you got to score. Well, that's where the play call comes in.
Okay, so now I'm supposed to expect that Ulbrich, who's never coached a game in his life as far as a head coach goes, he's going to be this great head coach. And now Downing, who's not been a good offensive play caller in his history, he's going to be incredible with Aaron Rodgers running the show.
I'm not saying that. No. I think that's crazy.
The Bills in five games, for you saying, well, they missed Diggs and Allen's having a down year and the Bills aren't the same. They've scored 142 points.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets have scored 93. I'm just saying there's a big difference in where, even if the Bills come back down to earth.
They've already started the last two games. Okay. Their descent has begun.
Right. I still don't think it's low enough to catch where the Jets are at.
Listen,
Jets are going to have to show that they could climb up.
Yeah.
As well as the Bills. Bills have to descend, which may start to be happening, but it's only a couple of games. I'm still not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets have to climb to get to their level. So I just think the disparity is still great. Hey, look, we're going to see tonight. And by the way, even in one game, like we saw the Jets beat them last year with Zach Wilson. So it's not like if they did
and
beat
him before with Zach.
Yeah. All right. So it's not like they can't beat the Bills.
Exactly.
But it's that they can't be better than the Bills over the long period.
I still think that they could. Now, it remains to be seen if they are. I think that they could. Now, that's a contestable statement. You don't think it seems very reasonable, but I think that it's at least up for interpretation. Like, if you take away us being in New York and me being, and I'm not saying this because I want the Jets to win. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I bury them as much as anybody when I have to. I do think they win tonight, right? But if you take somebody that doesn't have any emotional connection to our city or the Jets, I don't think it's an unrealistic, irresponsible, cavalier conversation or thought to say that if the Jets click in a little spot or two, that they could slightly bump past the Bills. I'm going to stand by that statement. I think that could happen, right? Now, let me ask you this, though, because you don't buy it, and that's fine. You have said, and I didn't disagree, Saleh was the worst coach in the NFL. The worst.
Right.
Okay, so even though he probably should have been fired, he was the scapegoat, the worst. He did nothing for the team. If we both agree with that, and his record, you know, illustrates that that's not an irresponsible statement either, even if Ulbrich is not great, which nobody's going to say he's Bill Walsh, he's not even offense, but if he's slightly better, would you give me that there's a little room for uptick for the Jets? If he's slightly better than the worst coach in the league.
Sure.
Okay. If you have the proper tweak or two, not an overhaul, you're not going to have guys in motion. Rodgers doesn't want that.
Yeah.
But you change things up just a little, which opens up the running game just a little. With the Jets, which I think will happen, with the Jets defense and a slight uptick in offense, do you not see the Jets becoming one of the more balanced teams in the NFL?
No, I don't
see it. That's where we disagree.
Yeah,
I do.
Not, I mean, I need to actually see it before I believe it.
I got you.
Let's see them run the football tonight. It should be a fascinating matchup.
It's huge.
It is a huge game. Monday Night Football, of course, at the Jets. We got the Yankees game one, ALCS. We got the Mets game two, NLCS. A lot going on here. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Jason is calling from Stony Brook. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. What's up? Great show.
Thank you.
I know I'm short on time, but I just wanted to get these points in. I agree with you guys for the most part. Sal, I've always felt the way you felt about Daniel Jones. I never would have drafted him. I don't think he's as athletic or as good as those that do like him feel about him. So I never would have drafted him. He's a nice kid. What I don't understand is that why Dable's getting so much credit, BT. Like you said, he's doing a good job. I don't think he's doing a good job.
Go ahead.
He's won two games by default. His offense is doing nothing. He's an offensive coach. And if you don't like Daniel Jones, which him and Shane basically told us, and the owner in Hard Knocks, why does he keep, like, why aren't we playing musical chairs with the quarterbacks? You got Drew Locke. Put him in at the end. Put him in the second half and see what he's got. He may give us a chance to win a game. Is Dable really trying to win games? Or is he looking ahead
He's not a dummy.
Sorry, Jason. Thank you for the call.
A good call. Love the passion. I'd say this. I mean, eventually there might be a time for Drew Locke. That time is not now. Although maybe it's starting to approach more rapidly than we thought. I mean, I'm not saying I'm not open-minded to it. That's number one. But I think, how would the Giants season be perceived if they had a kicker against the Commanders? Now, which they didn't, we can obviously complain about the clerical decision not to maybe roster somebody else or do something to, you know, to circumvent the issue that he had going into the game, which even though it was a little bit of a different party, a lower part of his body, but I think it's all connected. So maybe they weren't on top of that. But that's not just Dable. That's Shane. That's an organizational decision when it comes to the roster. If they would have won that game, I mean, you know, I think it feels kind of like the season we anticipated the Giants having. If we were sitting here during the summer saying, man, this Giants offense is going to be awesome. These Giants, they're going to win 11, 12 games. We thought the Giants would be average at best.
Right.
So to me, I can't get on a coach, I mean really get on a coach, like we got on with Saleh and some others over the years, if you're not woefully underachieving, and I don't think that the Giants are.
Right. The coach, to me, you could watch him. Now, again, his record is what it is this year, 2-4, and there are games that the Giants let get away from him, and he's the head coach. But ultimately, to me, he's taken a team with less talent, meaning the quarterback specifically on the offense, and has had them competitive in every game. Giants have played one bad football game. Correct, the first one. And that was against a team who was undefeated, for goodness sake. But that was the one bad football game that you watch the game and you go, oh my God. So much so that the reporters were calling for Dable's job, saying that the circus is about to begin. Wrongfully so, as we said here on this show, what are these guys talking about? That's ridiculous to even say that, going off the rails after one game. But the Vikings were much better than anybody thought, and it was one bad game. Giants played a good game in week two without a kicker, and they barely lost to the Commanders. Didn't allow a touchdown. Obviously, we know what happened there. You should never lose that game. If you play that game 99 of 100 times, you would win. Scoring, what was it, 3 touchdowns, not allowing one, but still losing a game.
Yeah, that stat that goes back to the history of the game. Nobody.
It's ridiculous. Okay, so that's a bad loss. Beat the Browns, even though they didn't play a clean game. Giants are much more talented this year than they've been in years past because they can even get away with making mistakes and not playing a perfect game. They started out as bad as you can against Cleveland, come back and win the game. The Cowboy game Thursday night. They were in that game and could have won that game. Now, they didn't, and that's, you know, they needed to, BT, open up Daniel Jones running a little bit more to win that game. They didn't, whatever, but they lost a close game. Again, not good enough you lose, But then they go out there and they steamroll the Seahawks. Score didn't say that, but the play did.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, this game against the Bengals, they had more than an opportunity to win this game.
Oh,
defense was terrific against Burrow. And offensively, couldn't score any touchdowns.
And again, their kicker missed a chippy.
Yeah,
at this point, 47 to chippy, and they bypassed him at the end because they're terrified that he couldn't hit one, and he probably wouldn't.
At some point, being in the games is not good enough, and
yeah.
I think we're at that point. Like, they got to start winning these games.
Yep.
But overall, big picture, relative to the expectation and what they have to work with, I think there's much more encouraging signs that the Giants and Joe Shane and Dable have built a nice roster. They have solid game plan. They need a quarterback.
I agree with you. I think now that doesn't mean that you have to be happy with the results. Clearly you're not, but there's a big difference between understanding the situation, which I think most Giant fans do. Well, look, I get tired of losing, understood. But I think when you take out the emotion, which is hard to do sometimes, but when you do it and you really look at it pragmatically, I mean, how many, without Malik Nabers, how many starters on offense are going to start on any good team around the NFL?
Right.
Andrew Thomas, you know, maybe Runyon, anybody else?
The line play
probably
is better.
Not.
You know, no, they need to get Nabers back in. But the quarterback is missing plays. What do you got for the Yanks? You want to talk about your boy Judge?
And the New York Giants begin Eagles week. Mm-hmm. And we did get the unfortunate news earlier this morning. We're not surprised by it. We talked about it a lot late in the show yesterday that Andrew Thomas had a negative development with this Lisfranc injury that he has. And it is now official that Andrew Thomas is going to miss the remainder of the season. And A, you feel awful for Andrew Thomas.
Right,
and B,
terrible.
This is a very difficult blow for the New York Giants.
It's a huge blow because currently, and this is what was reported earlier today, Josh Azudu is playing left tackle for the New York Giants. And we all can remember last year when Andrew Van Winkle basically came Van Winkle is what I'm thinking of. Andrew Van Ginkle came untouched and laid into Daniel Jones, and probably what led to his neck issue or
right.
stinger, whatever it ultimately turned out to be. But you worry about the blind side for your starting quarterback with Josh Azudu there. Now, it means the schemes will have to be a lot different. You have to put a tight end over there a lot, maybe put your back on that side, but there's got to be an influence to help the left side, which changes everybody's blocking assignments.
Is there a better option than Josh Azudu?
I told you yesterday, Evan Neal was a left tackle in college. Put him at left tackle and see if he's more natural there than he was at right tackle. I think part of it last year was coaching. As much as we, you know, don't know about what Bobby Johnson taught him, there were just too many moments of him standing around looking lost. I mean, it was every week. Every week, you'd be like, why is he standing there blocking nobody? And to me, that's coaching. So with a different coach and maybe a different urgency, he's okay at left tackle. But at least you'd know. At least you'll know whether or not
right.
you have something.
Well,
in him.
It becomes a sink or swim moment for Evan Neal.
Yes.
I mean, I think we all basically assume he's just a bust and it is what it is, but he's
right.
on the roster.
And he's a first-round pick from 2 years ago.
Yeah. I'll tell you something crazy. Maybe I'm nuts for saying, or maybe you actually agree with me. See, Sean, super Giant fan. I would actually have more faith in Evan Neal working out at left tackle than Josh Azudu would.
Hmm. Ooh, I don't think so.
Was that too much?
I think
I take it a step too far?
Why do you not think so?
Personally, because he took the same amount of games played at left tackle and right tackle in college. Like, he did play left tackle. Maybe that was more natural to him.
Yeah.
I just get the feeling he's so far cooked in the way he, you know, moves his feet and everything, where at least Josh Azudu had some versatility. He wasn't terrible in the Arizona game last year.
No.
You think he was?
No, he was. He wasn't. You're right.
But that was the first game he played, and then after that was an absolute
I want to make this very clear.
Sieve.
I wouldn't do either of these. I would move Illuminor to left tackle and play Evan Neal at right tackle, where at least I know Josh Illuminor, Jermaine Illuminor, has been steady enough at tackle that I don't think it'll be a disaster on the blind side, and I've seen the Giants make the playoffs in an offense that featured Evan Neal at right tackle. So I'm like stripping down the studs and going with that basis.
Right.
But if they're not, and they're going to leave Illuminor, I guess give me Azudu. I'm done with Neal at that point.
Yeah, this sucks, man, because I think if we were power ranking the best football players on the New York Giants, to me it's just a debate between Andrew Thomas and Dexter Lawrence. Now, there was a negative report on Dexter Lawrence earlier today that he wasn't practicing, same with Brian Burns, but both are going to play on Sunday, right?
Both are going to play. Okay. Both have quieted all that noise. They just need a little rest or rehab on that. This is an important stat, too. This from Bobby Skinner talking Giants. The last 2 years, the Giants' points per game. With Andrew Thomas, the Giants scored 19.9 points per game. By the way, still not great.
Yeah, right. No kidding.
Without Andrew Thomas, the Giants score 11.4 points per game. So their points per game goes down by 8 points not having Andrew
Thomas. I mean, it makes sense. He's one of the best left tackles in football, and you're replacing him with a well below average player.
Right. The same thing happened with good teams that lose their left tackle. The San Francisco 49ers were in a similar boat when Trent Williams missed a couple of games. They lost both of those games.
Right.
Brock Purdy looked terrible. So the left tackle, as much as we've maybe marginalized how we talk about them as much as we used to, used to be like the thing. Like, you have to have a left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the most important positions in football.
No question.
And the Eagles will not have their left tackle on Sunday either.
And I think what also sucks is that the Giant offensive line had actually been intact this year. All five guys had played every game together.
Yep.
And this was the first time in a really long time where, as much as you may complain about aspects of the Giants, one aspect you were not complaining about was their offensive line. The other thing that needs to at least be discussed, and I think it's crazy. I admit, I raise my hand and I say, if this is what Sean's going to come to, I think he's nuts. And I know there's a lot of Giant fans listening who are thinking this. There are... or is an injury guarantee in Daniel Jones's contract. The best I understand it is that if Daniel Jones got hurt this year and was not cleared to come back during the summer, the Giants would be on the hook for $23 million guaranteed. And so, kind of like what Denver did last year, once they realized, all right, we're done, we're not going to risk playing Russell Wilson because there was a $37 million guarantee for him. So it is a thing that we talked about during the summer as potentially being a factor once the Giants are out of it. And if the Giants are out of it and they're sitting there with 8 or 9 losses, I'm with you. Why would you risk playing the guy who's not going to be on the team next year and risking a cap casualty that goes along with it? But you're 2-4. You're not buried.
Nope.
It's not over. And as much as one may not like or believe in Daniel Jones, he is clearly their best option at quarterback compared to Drew Lock and Tommy's Tommy DeVito. So I get the fear, but you can't be scared. How we doing on this incredibly busy Wednesday in New York City, about 4 hours away from Game 2 of the National League Championship Series between the New York Mets and the L.A. Dodgers. The Yankees get an off day today, up 2-0. They go to Cleveland and try to finish the job against the Cleveland Guardians. Obviously, a very busy week with the Jets. They lose on Monday night brutally to the Buffalo Bills. And then they promptly trade for Devontae Adams, who is already practicing with the New York Jets.
And that, available for Sunday, despite missing the last 2-3 games.
That's right.
With the Raiders.
That's called a miracle hamstring recovery.
Or
gotcha.
What?
Or I hardened the entire thing. But the other thing that's really interesting is on Sunday, we are finally going to get the return. Mm. Saquon Barkley returns to MetLife Stadium as a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. We all remember early March. That was 6 months ago.
I know.
It was a 7 months ago?
Time ago.
Crazy. And of course, Tiki Barber, representing all New York Giant fans, said what we all thought at the time, which was, if you go to Philadelphia, you're dead to us. And that's what Saquon Barkley decided to do. And Saquon Barkley has had a fine season for the Eagles.
So
no
far,
knock on him.
It's been pretty damn good is what it's been.
Not his fault at all.
Which is what we feared.
Yeah, and I almost expected, right?
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Because they're not a bad team, even though something's askew with them sometimes. But they're a good team.
They're a good team. They're a flawed team. They've got a terrible head coach. But Saquon Barkley has certainly not been a problem for the Philadelphia Eagles. So he's returning on Sunday. And I think all of us know that he's going to get his ass booed out of the building. Like, that's not even a debate. Like, we're not going to say, hey, what do you think? Are you going to boo Saquon? It's not a debate. Everybody's going to boo Saquon Barkley. So you would think Saquon Barkley, who's a local guy, would know that. Here is a quote from Saquon Barkley when he was asked about this. This was in The Athletic earlier this morning. I don't expect a great reaction,
but I don't expect to get booed. I look at it like this. The Philadelphia Eagles and New York Football Giants probably played in over 200 games. This rivalry was there before me, and it's going to be there after me. Maybe I'm naive, but I think it's over. I think that chapter is closed. I don't care no more, and I'm pretty sure the fans don't care no more either. Saquon, I put my arm around you because I don't think you're a bad guy at all. I just think you're really, really, really wrong. To quote a man that sometimes I hate and sometimes I love, it's not over until we tell you it's over.
Right. Bingo. It's not on Saquon to determine this. It's on us.
Well, he's trying to speak it into existence, perhaps. Wants it to be over.
Well, it's not.
It's not the majority of people booing. It's going to sound like it's the majority of the
people. It's going to be everybody booing.
I mean,
Giant fan is not booing Saquon Barkley?
6-year-olds and grandmas are going to be booing.
I think the issue that he's not quite understanding is that it still is a rivalry because the Giants haven't beaten the Philadelphia Eagles consistently for a decade.
Right.
And so you left this place and went there. Anywhere else, it'd have been fine.
Yeah.
But it's become our hated rival, one, because of proximity, but two, because we can't ever beat them. And you're a good player. It's not like you're washed. And it's like, yeah, we don't need you anymore. Get out of here.
Right.
As you're a good player. And so he's going to help them do what they continually have been doing. So it just doesn't sit right with Giant fans.
Well, and also, he's coming out for the first time as an Eagle.
Yeah.
This is not his fifth trip back.
Right. I bet there's going to be a lot of Saquon Barkley jerseys there, though.
You think so?
I do.
Giant ones?
Giant Saquon Barkley jerseys.
What human being is wearing a Saquon Barkley jersey there?
Not dissimilar to Odell Beckham when he left, Junior, when he left. Saquon was a lot of people's favorite player.
Mm-hmm.
It just is what it is. And so while they hate that he's an Eagle, specifically, they don't hate him, just like what you just said. They don't hate him.
Well, yeah, okay, so I disagree to a certain extent. I agree with the extent that he was a favorite player. Like, obviously, I think that's part of why it hurts so much, that a favorite player to many is not only not on the team anymore, but he went to a rival.
Right.
Odell Beckham Jr. was traded. It was controversial. And he was traded to a team that Giant fans don't care about.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's because he was traded.
Right. Oh, but that's the point. Like, he was a Cleveland Brown, and I don't think anyone was like, you're dead to us. It was, well, it sucks it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
Saquon Barkley, on his own, left as a free agent. I get that Joe Shane didn't really want him back. We all know that. And chose on his own to play for a division rival. I think that is so extremely different than the end of Odell Beckham Jr.
And
the end of even a guy like Jacob DeGrom. Like, we talked about when DeGrom left. Like, right. If he signed with the Braves, you don't think, maybe I'd be the unique person in this, but you don't think he would have faced a really negative reaction upon returning?
I think it's different because Jake felt like there was a flaw there. And while Saquon had his injury issues, when he was healthy, he was so damn good.
Now, Jacob DeGrom was better at his job than Saquon was at his.
I mean,
is that what you're saying? Because I hope you're not saying the opposite.
Of course, I'm not. But I'm saying when Jacob DeGrom left the Mets, it felt like, okay, he was great for us. He's not going to be great going forward.
You don't think Giant fans thought that about Saquon? He's getting up there, running back, injury.
I mean, if you didn't pay attention, you did.
You don't think those some Giant fans said, look, Sean said it. All he did was enjoy your fumbles and injuries.
No.
He said that.
No, I think the issue with Saquon is that he was always hurt. But I don't think anybody said he's hurt to the point where he can't play. Because it's never been that. It's just been, you got an ankle injury. Oh, you tore your ACL. Oh, you hurt your foot. It was just always something.
Right.
It was nothing terminal. It wasn't like, oh man, you broke your femur, so now you're gonna have a limp and your gait's gonna be jacked up. It's never anything like that. It was recoverable things, and he's 27 years old.
Right.
Like, he had years left in his career.
And feeling like it took forever to come back from those things every time too.
True, but it wasn't like, I think he's done.
No,
and I think with Jake, a lot of people were like, I think he might be done.
Well, so far they may be right. He's only pitched seven
you're right.
times.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It didn't hit. And by the way, he went to Texas.
Like, that's my point. When DeGrom left, and I was devastated by it, if he had signed with Atlanta,
right,
there would be a very big you're dead to us vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And DeGrom did a lot more as a Met than Saquon did as a Giant.
Agreed.
It's all about where you go.
Well, yeah, and it's also because there's a chance that Saquon will do more in Philly than he did here.
Yes.
He'll have more success in Philadelphia than he did here.
Certainly not worried about that with Jake, by the way.
Exactly. The way the Eagles are, right. I'm not really that worried about that right now. But still, the point remains. He could have signed anywhere but Dallas and Philly, and Giant fans cheer him when he comes back Sunday.
Well, I give you a good example because you just played them, and I want to make it like specific, not a team you didn't play. Let's say he signed with the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that's where he ended up. Not the craziest idea, considering all the running back movement. You know, Joe Mixon left as a free agent, all that. Mm-hmm. If Saquon Barkley had signed with the Bengals and a few days ago he had returned as a member of Cincinnati, I think it would be like 70-30 cheers.
I agree.
I do. I think it would have been a, you know what, didn't work out.
Because we don't.
Thank you, Saquon.
Well, it's also because we don't care about the uniform.
Correct.
But with the Eagles, you're half, maybe more, 70% booing the uniform.
Yeah.
That he's wearing.
Are you going to be booing very loudly? Sean is going to the game on Sunday.
Yeah. Not only am I booing loudly, I didn't even contemplate what Tiki said. I am taking buses from Mulcahy's on Long Island. And if I see anybody boarding those buses there, listen out, and you're wearing a Saquon Barkley jersey, I will speak with the manager you removed from the bus. We're not doing that.
Oh, good. You're not threatening anybody.
What if it's an 8-year-old kid?
I pull over. That might be where I break out the wall. Pops, let's go. Can we duct tape Singletary over that, please? You can't be doing it. Sorry.
So you're going to have hard conversations with these people?
Yeah, I'm hoping Giants fans come to their senses. You're right. Maybe it's only kids because that was their fair player.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
The 17 and up, no Saquon jersey.
You can't wear a Saquon jersey.
Not to this game.
Not to this. I agree with you. Like, I think in a random Giant game, like, if you're going to
there
the Met game.
One that I would. What game did I go to?
I don't know. You tell us.
With the helmets thing. It was, I forget
you
who
were
played.
At the Cowboys game, right, Teague?
The Cowboys.
It was a Cowboys game.
It was Thursday. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to go. The Thursday night game.
Right.
There were kids wearing the Saquon jersey.
But believe it or not, I think it's different. Like, if you go to tonight's Met game, you're going to see random jerseys. Very random jerseys.
And jerseys are expensive, so if that's the one you invested
in. Yeah. It's when you're playing the guy who happens to now be on a division rival. That's when you're going too far by wearing the jersey.
If you wear a Saquon jersey on Sunday, you're saying you're siding with Saquon over the Giants. That's what you're saying.
I mean, you kind of are because you're playing them, right?
Right.
And that's why they're not allowed in the bus.
Might as well wear an Eagles uniform.
You deserve to get booed in the lot if you're wearing that jersey.
God, I hope someone's on that bus wearing a Saquon jersey just so I can hear the interaction between
you. Not going to happen. Not going to fly with me. There's a few things I stand for in this country, and that's one of them.
Now, when Saquon runs on the field, you're going to boo. Can you show me how that boo sounds?
Every time he catches and carries the ball. Boo!
That's hardy.
Any curse words or anything, or just straight up booze?
How many beers have I had?
You tell me.
I mean, I don't like on a bus at, what, 8:30?
8:30 in the morning, rolling out of Wanto. No, you'll get a lot of, and Tiki won't like this because I'm like saying it's athletes.
That's fine.
You suck. I think we're going to do a lot of that. Hey, Saquon, you suck!
You don't, you mind, you suck, Teak?
I don't care.
Yeah. How about you chant something about Tiki's better!
The obvious chant is this, if you could do it.
You're dead to me.
You could do that harmonically.
You're dead to me. You're dead to me.
There's no clap.
You're dead to me.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
You got to have the clap.
I also been working out this one for the third quarter as the Giants start to pull away. Tracy's better.
I like that.
And there's a double meaning on that one when it comes to one Mr. Tiki Barber.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
So that's that hits him even harder.
Like just an I instead of a Y.
Yeah,
that's
right.
I did it. We did that. I shouldn't even tell this story because nobody cares. Right, I'm going to tell it anyway, very quickly. Jason Kidd returned. First time he ever faced the Nets after he was traded. Greatest net of all time. New Jersey net of all time.
Yep.
Blizzard. Okay, blizzard. Told my dad we're getting there anyway.
Blizzard?
There was a blizzard conditions. Absolutely.
Oh, oh, oh.
Okay. Nets did a great job. They moved everybody from the upper deck to the lower bowl. Made the place feel completely packed because no one could show up because of the blizzard. Kidd gets an unbelievable standing ovation. I gave it to him. Come on, what are we doing? I don't care what he did to force his way out. All-time great player. Devin Harris got traded for him and puts on a show, okay? And so the crowd started chanting, "Thank you, Cuban! Thank you, Cuban!" Because Devin Harris was outperforming Jason Kidd in this one game. I feel like such a tool thinking about it. What did Devin Harris
go on to do for the rest of his
season? He made an all-star team with the Nets.
Yeah, I mean, he was okay as a Net. I think the problem was the team went nowhere. And
the Nets still in the league.
Eventually, he got traded in the Darren Williams trade, and he just became like a figure in history that you forget about. So thinking back to that night of thank you, Cuban. Yeah, thank you. What the hell did you give me?
I also think this isn't an anti thing, but I think you will get the loudest of something at MetLife that you've heard all year. if and when Malik Nabers is playing, those leak chants that I don't necessarily love will be the loudest on Sunday.
Yeah, because he's your new guy.
And it's a little shot at Saquon where we love this guy now.
Yeah, this is our guy, forget you. You're dead to us now, we don't think of you.
Can I give one more, and it's copying a little bit of a great Met chant. I think it's the best chant we ever had, which is Harvey's better, which we did to Strasburg.
Yeah, of course.
Tiki's better. Number one, it puts our show over, and it puts Tiki over, and it ties everything into this.
And you know what bothers him?
Because
he got annoyed when Tiki said, and of course he was having fun, but Saquon's such a sensitive person, when you're dead to me. So I think a Tiki's better would bother him.
I wonder how many of the kids actually saw me play.
Doesn't matter.
They have YouTube and Twitter. They've seen it.
And look, I just want to make this clear in case this does happen. Tiki is not the one pushing for it, okay? This is us doing it.
That's right.
So it's not like I don't want the story to be Tiki Barber tells his audience, chant Tiki's better. No.
You're dead to me.
No. Tommy said it. We agreed. Giant fans, Sunday afternoon, Tiki's better. We're the show of chance. Whether it's where's your bookie with Shohei Ohtani?
Where is iPay?
Or where is iPay into Tiki's better? Let's go to Steve in Montville. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, dude?
Two things, if I may. The second one involves bad Tiki.
Yes.
Okay. The first thing is I'm very glad that Mr. Barkley decided to sign with the Eagles, so I can boo him and the Eagles at the same time.
There you go. The uniform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, and it's one down and one to go.
All right.
With Mr. Jones. Also, okay, I know Tiki, regular Tiki, you are retired. But do you think, because you know bad Tiki better than anybody else, do you think bad Tiki would like to play running back for the Giants this weekend?
Well, I mean, apparently he's too tall to play running back for the New York Giants.
One thing I've heard about bad Tiki is he's very tall and he has beautiful long hair.
6'10", he says, at times. Sometimes it's 7 foot. But it depends on which bad Tiki we're talking about, because aren't there 30,000 iterations of him?
That's what he still does, yes. Speaking of bad Tiki, he always joins us Thursdays at 4:30. Tomorrow, we're actually signing off at 4:25 because the Yankees have a postseason game, so the pregame show is going to begin at 4:25. So I've not been able to talk to bad Tiki, but there's been some negotiations going on, and it sounds like bad Tiki's actually going to join us at 3:45. That's what I've heard.
Beautiful.
So he will still join us. He got a little preempted because there is a Yankee postseason game, and maybe we'll find out tomorrow if he wants to suit it up. Let's go to Frank in Bloomfield, New Jersey. How are you, Frank?
What up, Frank?
Hey, I'm doing good, guys. Hey, listen, I just want to say thank you for the fist pump the other day, American Dream.
Oh, awesome.
I was a guy standing there with the green cookie hoodie on.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
All right, so look, Tiki, you're one of my favorite running backs, along with Brandon Jacobs.
DJ.
Saquon was my guy for a couple of years until he went off to Eagle Land, whatever you want to call it.
Went over the
I
yellow brick
like,
road.
You know, right. So I want to say I think the problem was why he really left. They gave Daniel Jones the money, even though I'm a Duke fan. I told you guys from the beginning I like Daniel Jones.
Right.
But, you know, I feel like that was an issue why he really left. You know, everybody's going to boo Saquon, but you might not get 100% boos out of everybody who's there because of the plays that he's done. I know he's been injured often. I know injuries because I've sustained ACL injuries and plantar fasciitis.
Yep.
But, you know, everybody recovers. I'm pretty sure, Tiki, you've been down that line.
Oh, of course.
You may have injured yourself. You know how it goes.
It happens. You play a rough sport.
And it takes time.
It does take time. I think the challenge with Saquon, though, is that, like, immediately he was amazing. And you thought you were just going to have this amazing player. And just the lack of availability for, what, three or so of those seasons, two and a half of those seasons was... It was frustrating. And so you just wanted to see him. You wanted your star.
He was, fair or not, a disappointment based on where he was drafted, based on the expectations of greatness.
Based on the immediacy of how great he was.
Yeah.
And he was a star right away.
He was a star right away, but then he never really backed it up due to injuries. And injuries had a lot to do with it. And obviously the team around him wasn't very good. It wasn't all his fault. But I've heard this point made a bunch of times. Our last caller says, hey, the Giants made a mistake. They should have paid Saquon Barkley and not paid Daniel Jones. Can we walk through the alternate universe? Because I think it's easy to say that, and I think it's a fair exercise to find out, okay, is he right? Would the Giants have been better off if they did the opposite? So you got to go back now to last season. Daniel Jones doesn't get a long-term contract. He gets a franchise tag.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley does get a long-term contract.
Right.
Okay? And everything, I assume, is going to play out the same way.
That's
I can't assume.
That's two seasons you're talking about. So after the 2022 season.
After the 2022 season, when they had to make the initial decision on Jones and Barkley.
Yes.
Let's say they did the opposite. Jones got the tag. Saquon got the contract. And again, I have to assume, because I don't believe necessarily guys play 100% different based on the money that they've been paid. Mm-hmm. Some do, some don't. So Daniel Jones gives you the same year in 2023. Saquon Barkley gives you the same year in 2023. Now what? Saquon's here, great. He's getting paid. And now you've all decided Daniel Jones sucks, we're moving on.
Yeah.
Then what? You're not trading up for Drake May. They tried, they didn't.
Yeah.
You're not getting Jaden Daniels. So what are you doing?
Are you
not drafting Malik Nabers? Are you going to just try to re-sign Daniel Jones on a cheaper deal? Like, walk me through the alternate universe where we're now into the offseason of last March. Saquon's here. It's all good. And now you got to make a decision on Jones and the quarterback spot.
Daniel Jones is not a Giant. If the exact same situation happened and he's on a franchise tag and he gets hurt, he doesn't play, has surgery, etc., he's not a Giant.
I agree with you. Now what?
It's now you're stuck with because Drew Locke is not here either yet.
Okay, so what did they do?
So you're entering the season with Tommy DeVito, and you're desperate to sign a free agent. It's likely to have been Kirk Cousins. I'm just telling you.
You think they would have done that though?
Absolutely. He was the most ready available quarterback that was a free agent.
I know he stinks. They did meet with Russell Wilson.
I think that would be the answer. Like,
they would not have had Bobby Okereke on this team, too. Because the finances with a franchise taking a quarterback would not have allowed that.
See, this is the part of the alternate universe where we get into the weeds.
It's too deep. And I know what we're doing here, but
let's
that
assume,
also needs to be said.
Let's assume the cap is fungible, so who cares?
Yeah, the question is, because I agree with Tiki's first point, which is Jones is gone. Right? And I think most Giant fans would have said, all right, didn't work out, we tagged him, whatever, we move on. Saquon's here, which we're all right with. What do you do with quarterback? Because I think the other option...
I would have been all in for Kurt over Russell Wilson. I know we met with Russell, did he come in? On his way to Pittsburgh, right?
Yes.
And so I think Kurt would have been signed before
that. And I think that would have been the best alternative, by the way. Right. So I'm with you that would have been the best alternative. Doesn't mean it would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson would have been a possibility. Here's the other possibility.
Joe Flacco?
Because
Joe Flacco's playing good ball right now.
Yes and no. Like, I think Joe Flacco would have been
a perfect bridge for whenever you can get your young quarterback. So even if it would have been in this year's draft instead of Malik Nabers or next year's draft, he can play ball.
So. I agree that he can still play, but I think it's likely, kind of like what Indy did, that he would have been here along with a young quarterback that you were developing. And that leads me to the likeliest scenario, which is
Tommy DeVito.
Right. But that wouldn't have been it, though, and you know that.
Know.
The likeliest scenario is they wouldn't have drafted Malik Nabers, and they would have drafted J.J. McCarthy, which, does that make you feel better? Is that a better alternative?
I don't know.
Now, he ends up getting hurt, so we don't know.
We don't know about J.J. McCarthy.
But all these other alternatives, based on what our last caller said, which is, hey, they screwed up by picking Daniel over Saquon, which is not as simple as that because it's the positions. The alternate universe creates these scenarios where we're talking about they draft J.J. McCarthy instead of Malik Nabers.
Or Penix.
They sign Russell Wilson.
Or Penix,
okay, they draft Michael Penix. They draft Bo Nix. Whatever other alternative you want to come up with. Or they sign Kirk Cousins. Like, those scenarios are not that much better than where they are right now, where they're going to reset a quarterback next year anyway.
True, but it's interesting to think about what they would have done. Now, we can't know, obviously. But I think they would have went with veteran for a team that can try to win now.
Mm.
And then maybe still drafted Malik Nabers.
Or maybe they just would have brought Daniel Jones back.
Coming off an ACL.
No chance. Probably not. They wouldn't have had to have paid him a lot.
I don't know what would have happened with him if he hadn't already had a contract.
It's interesting to think. The alternate universe on taking and picking Saquon Barkley over Daniel Jones.
We forgot a huge name.
Go ahead.
I don't think we mentioned him. Aaron Rodgers.
You think Aaron Rodgers would have wanted to come here?
He did come here.
No, he went to the Jets. Roster-wise, he probably thought they were closer to winning.
Yeah, but you don't know what the roster would have looked like. We're in an alternate universe here.
You know,
we're in an alternate universe. You know what?
We're also rewriting history a little bit. And Evan just said something that's been in the back of my hopper that's really aggravated me for a few weeks.
Go ahead.
He saw the Jets. He identified them. The Jets flew to Green Bay and begged it. I think we're forgetting something about Aaron Rodgers here. And God bless the Jets. Nobody else was pursuing him but the Jets at that time.
Sean, you're not wrong.
It's a great point because I remember having that take that he needs the Jets more than
And that's why
more than the Jets need him.
Well, that's why I disagree with Tommy when he said the Giants would have been an option for him. I think that the Jets at that point, with the roster that they had, with the failure at quarterback that they had, with the coach being in the situation and the GM being in the situation they were in, they were clearly the most motivated team to go get him and convince him to come here. So I don't think that would have changed in this alternate universe. Like, I don't see an alternate universe where, you know, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are getting on a plane with John Mara and they're begging Aaron Rodgers. You're right. I agree with you. That's why I disagree with Tommy that that wouldn't have been a real option in the alternate universe.
Yeah, and I was going to say, we're doing this in an alternate universe where they still would have made the playoffs in 2022.
Yeah.
So how could we have pointed to the Jets and said they were closer than at that point if you were wrong?
Well, and also, he has his timeline messed up with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers had already picked the New York Jets. On our timeline, Jones was coming back on a franchise.
But I've seen the movie, The Butterfly Effect, and when you start messing with alternate universes, also Back to the Future, it creates a whole different universe. So my alternate universe actually makes sense that Aaron Rodgers would be a Giant.
What we've realized in this discussion is we should never do alternate universes ever again.
Because
it gets way too confusing, and everyone's got their own story, and it's just a mess.
And that's a worse scenario because Rodgers is worse than Jones, right?
I don't think so anymore. I thought that last week, but I think the way Aaron played on Monday compared to the way Daniel played, in the pendulum of who's playing better, Aaron Rodgers or Daniel Jones, Aaron has now moved back ahead of Daniel Jones.
Did throwing Mike Williams under the bus, as he underthrew a pass, would that sway you that way?
No, I think it was just that he played a lot better.
Because that was good leadership.
No, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just telling you that Aaron Rodgers played a lot better on Monday night than Daniel played on Sunday night. And I think, Tiki, you'd even admit, 100%. If Jones was ahead of Rodgers, Rodgers passed by him.
Right.
So even Tiki agrees. He played in the NFL, Sean.
Great. I mean,
I love using that trump card. When you agree with me, I'm like, you know, Tiki played in the NFL, loser.
I can't hate you on that because anytime I have a good football point, Tiki's like, good point, Sean. My ego gets back through the roof, so I get it.
That's right.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Allo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.